Hello and welcome to Cage Club, two fans, nearly 100 movies, one cage. This is episode 102, Primal from 2019. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And Mike, this is now the fourth month in a row.
Oh yeah.
That Cage has continued the Cage chain.
The Cage chain.
We started with The Score to Settle in August.
Mm-hmm.
We did Running with the Devil in September.
We sure did.
We did Kill Chain, aka Cage Chain, in October.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Primal right now.
Here we are.
Next month, confirmed, Grand Isle.
Insane, but Kelsey Grammer.
Cage and Kelsey Grammer. January, confirmed, Colorado Space.
This is in six in a row.
6 months in a row. So last year, there were eight or nine Cage movies. Eight
in the year.
Yes.
Yeah, 8 out of 12 months.
Yes.
So.
Which was bananas.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll ever do that again, but I don't think we ever had a streak of 6 months in a row.
I don't think any actor ever will or has ever again.
Amazing.
I mean, this is almost better than 8 movies in 1 year is doing one a month for like this kind of thing. Like, and it could keep going. We don't know what's coming in February or March.
Well, we know that there are a bunch of movies coming up. Like, since we last recorded, I don't remember, we might have talked about some of these.
Because yeah, that the Tai Chi
one. But there's three new-ish that have been announced recently. Pig.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where he's battling a killer pig.
Giant killer kaiju pig.
Wally's Wonderland. He's not
that's
Wally.
Right. No, but that's about like the murderous theme park.
Yes. And then 10-00, which I do not remember what that's about.
And then we also still in production or maybe just wrapping is the, was it the Tai Chi one? Or
Jiu-Jitsu.
Jiu-Jitsu. And I feel like there was one more in
there. Prisoners of the Ghostland.
Yep.
The Croods 2, which will be, I don't think, maybe
that's
going to
take a while. That's
going to
take a while. Animating that.
But I think that's it. So there are, as of right now, 8 movies. And then Xander, which was supposed to be happening, went away.
Isn't there Siberia, too? Isn't that supposed to be somewhere?
Yeah, I think that's not on his IMDb anymore. I don't know. That might not even, I don't know if that exists anymore.
But point being, you know, we could get something in February. To keep this going.
I really hope so. Because, I mean, six is like a...
I was worried,
it's an unbreakable combo. Oh, I do remember.
I was very scared earlier this year. I was like, there's nothing coming out. What's happening?
The recent episodes, we have said that there are 4 tiers of Nicolas Cage movies. VOD Cage movies.
Yes, yes.
There is the worst, the 211s.
Yeah.
There are the ones that are fine, which is like Running with the Devil.
Right, the average.
There's the ones that are so good as bad, like A Score to Settle.
Yeah.
Or over-the-top campy whatever. And then there's, like, Secret Successes, which we've not really had recently.
Yeah, it's
that's
been
more
a while.
Seeking Justice Stolen.
Yeah,
where would you say,
before
I describe this movie, which is now available for rent on Amazon and I'm sure a bunch of other places,
mm-hmm.
rentable in 4K, mind you.
I know, yes.
Where would you put, which tier would you put this in? I think we're going to, again, differ on tiers, but just by one.
Mm.
I think, based on what you said and what you rated this on Letterboxd, I think you liked it a little bit more than me.
Okay, I haven't, yeah.
Although I'm sure that you're going to have the same idea as how this could be even better as
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
But would you put, I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I know. This is
it's fine. Either going to be in the, it's fine,
uh-huh.
or can't be so good as bad. Or so bad as good.
Oh, man, these categories.
Because you gave it a 4.5.
I did.
Which is kind of bananas.
It's bonkers. See, like, it's not that I think it's so bad it's good, but I have to place it, like, more closer in that category than it being a straight-up, like, Secret Success.
We need to rename that into just over-the-top fun.
Yeah, because that's exactly what this was. Like, this is not the movie I was expecting. It's
not at all.
Nowhere near the movie I was expecting. But it became a movie I kind of didn't know I wanted at a point. If these were all better actors, like, this would be a good movie. I almost felt like I wanted to play this video game or something. I don't know.
Okay. I think the bill of goods that we were sold was Cage and a whole bunch of animals. And there's, like, 7 animals.
No, this is what we were sold. Cage is stuck on a boat fighting, like, monstrous killer animals.
Yeah.
Like I was expecting, like, mutants and things like that.
So there are, in this movie, there's, like, 5 birds, including one that has his friend named
his
Delphine,
buddy.
A parrot named Delphine, who's his friend, who he talks to a lot in this movie,
yeah,
which I love.
Yeah.
There's 2 snakes, one of which gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
There is
a couple CGI monkeys.
4 or 5 monkeys, including the baby. Do not touch the baby.
Right.
Because then the mama gets mad. And then there's the mysterious white jaguar.
The white jag.
El Fantasma Gato. The ghost cat.
Say that with chomping on a cigar, drinking a flask at the same time.
From atop a tree. What's weird about this movie is that this is getting reviewed in actual publications. Like, David Ehrlich of IndieWire reviewed this.
Yeah.
The AV Club reviewed this.
It's in theaters.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Because this is very clearly, from afar, schlocky straight to VOD. Not that that's a bad thing.
No, I hear you.
But this should not be considered, I don't think, think.
No, I think Running with the Devil had more right to be in theaters, you know? Like, because that has him and Fishburne, right? You got two, like, and then it has Barry Pepper and other people are in there, too. In the background and stuff. But I feel like this movie feels more like a popcorn, mainstream, not monster movie necessarily, but like weirdo, end of the year, just sort of bail it out in theaters before the big Oscar rush comes. It's like, we had this on the shelf, like, let's just make sure it gets out there.
And I think the problem, and it's not the problem with like why it would be reviewed, but I feel like that's what it wants to be, and I don't think it actually quite gets there. Like, no. I think that there's a lot, like, this is a 95-minute movie that feels much longer than 95
it
minutes.
It does.
Because there's long stretches where there's nothing happening.
Pretty
much. So here's what the plot is about.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Nicolas Cage plays big game hunter Frank Walsh in lowercase rainforest, all capital letters, Brazil.
Oh, man, the title card.
This is Brazil. The movie starts with him in a tree, eating nuts or something.
And he's reading a magazine.
Real estate magazine, smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
And he is hunting a jaguar. He's been tasked to get a black jaguar, because that's what all jaguars are.
Yeah.
But he sees a white spotted jaguar, the ghost cat, and says, they're going to want this even more. It's like, well, that's not the job. The cat knocks him out of the tree, essentially, but he captures the cat.
Yeah,
goes to this small town in Brazil, load all the animals that he has captured onto this big old boat.
Yeah.
Then we kind of have like a reverse Con Air, sort of, on a boat.
What is this?
Where they're taking a boat from Brazil to Puerto Rico to transport not only animals and whatever else is on the boat, but this like wanted murderer.
Yeah.
Played by Kimi from Lost, who we later find out he's an NSA. He's hired by the NSA to murder people in other countries. Shades of Snowden.
Christopher was his boss.
Christopher Moltisanti, Michael Imperioli, Christopher Moltisanti from The Sopranos is his boss, but he's also tasked with bringing him back.
It's murky. We'll get there.
Famke Janssen.
Oh, I love her.
Jean Grey plays a lieutenant.
Doctor.
Ellen. Lieutenant Dr. Ellen, which I just realized, side note, when we did Eyes Wide Shut for Cruise Club, I did not realize that Bill, Tom Cruise, Dr. Bill is a play on words. It's like a Dr. Bill.
Oh, the Dr. Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And everybody calls him Dr. Bill.
Oh, Kubrick.
Like, I finally read yesterday. Go listen to Cruise Club if you haven't, because that's what Mike and I are doing right now, Cruise Club and Hanks to the Memories. But I just read that long, in-depth analysis of Eyes Wide Shut, how it's like this masterpiece that people misunderstand. Mm-hmm. And that was a whole thing about Dr. Bill and about how it's the artificial. I think based on that, we did a really good job of breaking that movie down about the artificiality and the different tiers of hierarchy. I digress. Lieutenant Dr. Ellen. They're on this boat, and they're transporting Kimi, who they put in a cage like an animal, bound by the wrists.
So many questions.
But he also has seizures, so he can't fly.
Yes.
So it's not Con Air, it's Con C.
Yes, Con C.
And he gets out, and it kind of becomes like a reverse Die Hard, where we're following like the Germans in Die Hard, who are trying to capture McClane.
Yeah.
But McClane is a bad guy, and it's Kimi, and his goal is just to get out of there.
Yeah, he wants to...
He wants to escape.
Escape. I see. I saw it at that point as a most dangerous game reversal. Where,
because
Cage
is the big game hunter, and the biggest game of all is
man.
But he also does not give a shit about capturing Kimi. Because when Kimi gets out, he lets all the animals loose in the boat. All that means is that one person gets killed by monkeys, one person gets bitten by a snake, but does not die.
Survives.
And then nothing else.
No.
Until Kimi at the end gets killed by the jaguar.
Yeah.
So Cage is, you know, this is his livelihood. And so he's going around the boat trying to recapture these animals. He captures the birds. He captures the monkeys. He gets one snake in the end. He gets the jaguar in the end. All of this is happening while Kimi is running amok and just ruthlessly killing everyone. It's basically two different movies.
I was so confused. So, like, I was just ready for the ghost jag getting loose on the boat, and that was enough, right? And then we're loading all the animals on, and they're done with the final animal, and here come these feds. I'm like, what is this shit? Are they going to drop off, like, is this where, like, the mutant animal comes into play? Like, they're going to drop something off with a scientist? They have, like, a prisoner? I was so confused. I was like, what the hell is going on?
Their ham-fisted justification of why he's on the boat is because the Brazilian government gave them 6 hours to basically extradite him.
Yeah.
And otherwise, they were just going to let him go back into the wild.
Back to the Sword of God.
They had to get out of there on the first thing out, which was this boat.
That is so unnecessary, but like
100%.
It took me forever to sort of get on board, no pun intended, with that development until he escaped. And then it was like, oh, okay, I see what they want. They want Cage to hunt man because he hunted the most dangerous animal, the white jag, and now he's got to hunt a person.
But also, this is Cage in a role that we've seen, I feel, a few times, not as often as we maybe could have, but he's the disgruntled old man, like basically Murtaugh, like, I'm getting too old for this shit. I'm only here to do my job. I don't care what you're doing.
Heavy drinking.
I'm here to do this. The one scene where he just starts like comically slurring to Famke Janssen
in the hallway.
There's no point to that.
No, just to show.
Like, there's no like embarrassment there. Yeah, he's just saying things. Yeah, it's just, oh boy. And then in the end, the jaguar kills and eats Kimi.
Yeah, Cage hooks him up. He's got the blow darts.
Yes. Oh, the blow darts. We'll get to the blow darts. But he hangs him up from a rope around his ankles. The jaguar eats Kimi, demolishes him so bad that they need to identify him via dental records. Cage gets let off the hook by Famke Janssen. He saves her life from the poisonous snake that he brought onto the boat in the first place.
And the kid.
Yeah. They get rescued. Everybody has a happy ending except for Kimi.
Yeah.
And then the final shot of the movie is Cage and his parrot basically like, so what do you want to do next?
Yeah, off on another adventure.
Zoom out of the boat. End of the movie.
Amazing.
I think that this movie could have been, like, I think if this movie was the movie that we were sold, it could have been top five VOD Cage movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not that.
Because it had that potential to be
taken
seriously in that way. But I knew from the opening that we were sort of in for choppy seas, because that's clearly like CGI.
Oh, it's bad CGI too.
Like, all the animals are Jumanji.
Yeah.
And we're like, what, almost 20 years from Jumanji or something, even more so. But also,
this is after the Jumanji sequel.
That's right, it's after Numanji.
Yeah.
But Cage up in the perch, that looked like, he looked really odd. I was like, did they de-age him? Is there something going on? Or is it just all this green screen to get him high up in a tree?
There's the shots where the jaguar is jumping like 15 feet in the air and pawing at him. And I'm like, that looks bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just like, how do we mask Cage on probably a green box being pawed at by something that's not there? And he's fine. Like, he's not doing a bad thing. But we're also, we're doing lots of quick cuts to basically try to hide the fact that this is wildly under budgeted.
And I've been watching a lot of the special effects guys watch good and bad CGI on YouTube and like evaluating that and stuff. So like this week, my eye has been hypercritical.
Yeah. I'm going to say here, even if your eye was not hypercritical,
I know,
is easy to point out.
Yeah. And the point that it gets to where it's just like unacceptable is where it's got like the muzzle of blood around its mouth and it just looks just, oh man.
Like, it's bad enough to have CGI blood, but then to have CGI blood on a bad CGI animal, it's like,
yeah.
Let's talk about Kimi from Lost, Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Who's also in, he's in a bunch of things, most notably for us, Kimi from Lost.
Because he was a guy on a boat. A bad guy on a boat.
He is chewing up the scenery in a way that, like, it's going out of style. And I felt like he is doing, not a Cage impression, I feel like he's doing a John Malkovich impression.
You know what I was getting from him is, like, being with Cage is Cage-tages, because it's happened with Lawrence Fishburne, and now it's happening with Kimi. People acting against him, I don't know if they're challenging him or if it's just being brought out of them on set, but he is in a whole other movie, and I love the movie that he's in, like, once he gets going.
But nobody's in that movie.
Like, Cage
steps a foot into his movie, just like, nah, it's not for
him. I know, right? It's like that Eddie Murphy, James Brown skit where it's like, the hot tub, ooh, it's too hot in that hot tub. They have one miraculous fight sequence, which was...
They have two or three hand-to-hand combat scenes, which... Why?
But knife fight that goes on forever.
Yeah.
After Kimi has taken out, like, mercs, like, mercenary, like big dudes, like, twice the size and twice as young and twice as fit as Cage, Cage, like, holds his own in a knife fight.
I feel like that's just the action movie thing, where it's like, this is our hero, he can do anything. Like, it's the Fast and Furious thing, it's the Automancer, it's like, they get stronger.
Even with the poison.
We just haven't seen him grow. He's just a 55 or 60-year-old man at the end of his rope, kind of, but still able to keep up with this, like, ruthless, kind of, sort of, a little bit like Freddy or Michael Myers or Jason.
Yeah, like even Joker. Like, I was getting kind of, like, weird Joker vibes from him because of his, like, crazy faces and, his madness.
There's a couple foodie films scenes on the boat.
The chef in this is incredible.
Well, also, we have Cage chopping up food to give to the animals, so he's back, sort of, from the cook in Running with the Devil.
Also, recent Cage Cook in Running with the Devil ends the movie with a limp and a cane.
Well, he ends the movie getting killed there.
I know, but he has the limp. Yes. Remember, he falls off the mountain and survives, and he only gets a limp.
There's one line I wrote down. Like, Cage, I feel like, and I don't know if these are improv or if they're just normal lines that he leans into or what, but he's got a handful of lines that I wrote down.
Yeah, me too.
One of the first ones that I loved was, I just spent 10 months in the jungle, and this all smells like cat shit, I think. And that's about, like, he's being told why Kimi is on the boat. He's like, this doesn't smell right. It smells like cat shit.
Yeah.
I was like,
all right. Okay. I got one when he's told that why he's on the boat, it's classified. He gives the guy the middle finger and he goes, classify this. Oh, when he's drunk in the hallway with Famke Johnson, he goes, what's up, Doc?
What's up, Doc? And then that's when we find out, I think, maybe the point of that scene is that we find out that he's been working for 8 different zoos in 10 years. Yeah. But, like, we can tell from his behavior that he is not a good worker.
No, not only that he's not a law-abiding citizen either. Like, he is on his own clock, this guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talk about how he had, like, the parrot that he talks to. He calls his parrot a regular Einstein at one point. I was like, these guys need, like, this is amazing. He needs that guy, a parrot, in another movie.
After, I want the parrot in every movie. I want Cage and the parrot to be inseparable. I want Color Out of Space to be retroactively added. I'm assuming there's no parrot in Color Out of Space, but, you know, maybe a Lovecraftian parrot. Who knows?
Maybe a space parrot, but, yeah. Like, the scenes between him and the parrot, like, those interactions, like, are so real. It's amazing. It's he treats wonderful. The parrot like a real person. Like,
well, because there's nobody else he's really acting against in this movie.
It's the only real animal in the whole movie.
That was a real parrot, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it wasn't a real monkey. He did this great move when he was putting
the baby
monkey
in. Oh, when he lays the monkey down very, very gently.
And then he backs away with his arms still in the position just in case, like, the artists need to render more. I don't know.
That so is bad. Respect to the craft. Like, when Kimi is loose and he's saying, you know, I'm going to go get my animals. You can do your thing, but I'm doing my thing.
Right.
There's this guy, like, this military leader who basically takes command of the boat.
Yeah.
Because he's like, this is now a military operation jurisdiction or whatever. You're all under my command.
Yeah.
If you don't follow my orders, I'm going to lock you up for mutiny, blah, 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 blah. Well, that guy also dies very quickly.
Yeah, super unceremoniously, like, just, like, shot in the head, bam. Yeah.
Like, there's one point where Kimi just shoots, and, like, there's like, say there's, like, 6 or 8 guys that are going after him, right? He kills 3 in, like, 8 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
He has that one big fight with, like, the mechanic, I feel, like, the guy in the overalls, you know, the John Henry guy.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, really, like, that's the only, aside from Cage, that's the only time he's, like, challenged one-on-one by any of these dudes.
Oh, boy. But when the guy is like, you know, it's my way or the highway, or basically, like, you know, you're not going to get your animals, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Cage says, who knows how long it'll take this asshole to catch that asshole? And I was like, yeah.
He's got a great swagger in this movie. Like, I feel like he looks good. He looks like he's having a lot of fun in this. Like, he's really getting into it. I mean,
so this was filmed, I think, this was delayed because of the Puerto Rican hurricane from a couple years ago.
Oh, they actually filmed it down? I guess.
I don't know,
like,
why.
I was watching the whole movie going, like, they're just parked in a dock somewhere on this boat. And every time, it's like USS Indianapolis, you know, they're just on this
boat. Men of courage. Be respectful. Give the whole title.
Apologies, men of courage. But, like, anytime you see them on deck, it's just, like, been draped with green screen so that they could key out all the other boats in the dock and the buildings and people, you know, so that they could put in a blank sky and, like, an ocean.
It might be the same shot of the boat every time when it has, like, the nautical miles.
It's the, like, same digital, like, model from a different angle, like,
it
on
looks
day
nice.
Or night.
Like,
or
that
something.
Looks like pretty passable, pretty good CGI. The rest of it, not so much.
I noticed, like, the animals gets better towards the end. Like, the final scene with the white jag, it actually looks really good when because it's not moving, it's moving more like a cartoon through the whole movie, and then at the end, it finally looks like an animal movement when it's, like, getting ready to attack.
Maybe they were learning on the job.
That could be.
They're just like, oh, we know how to do this now. Let's not fix the other
they
stuff.
They did
we
the effects
time.
In the order, like, and then by the end, they got better.
Yeah. This movie was a first option. I'm just going down the trivia for now.
Yeah.
This was first optioned, the script, in 1995.
What?
It took this guy 22 years, Dan Goodnick, or Grodnick, to get it made, like the guy who wrote the script. It was originally titled Persona Non Grata.
Huh.
Lionsgate bought the rights to it or whatever. It was like, that's not a good title. We're going to rename it Primal.
You know, this feels like it would come out around the time of, like, Anaconda, Godzilla 98.
Jurassic Park. There's the scene where the guy gets killed by the monkeys in the kitchen, and, like, that is, like, straight out of Jurassic Park. Directed by Nick Powell, who has directed 2 things in his life. This movie, Outcast, also starring Nicolas Cage. So I don't know if Cage is, like, friends with this guy or what.
I don't know, but I remember that being one of the better Cage video on demand, early ones, because that was in the first stretch.
That was
before,
like 2014-ish.
Yeah, that was before Pay the Ghost came out. And it had Hayden Christensen in it, and Cage kind of disappeared for a while, and it was kind of a nice little, like, I don't know, romantic kung fu movie.
I do like that we both consider, I mean, I'm right there with you, but we both consider it like the early stretch, but it was just the early stretch because, like, that was when we were still catching up.
Right,
like,
right.
You and I very clearly delineate, like, Pay the Ghost before and after Pay the Ghost, because it's like, that's when we caught up. But I also feel like
that's great.
He did Pay the Ghost, and then he didn't do a movie for a while. And I remember, I think we were waiting for another one, and it didn't happen. So, like, I think there is actually a split, but it just so happened
we caught up, and
Pay the Ghost was
like a point.
That's the cutoff. We're like, before that is, like, the early stretch, and then this is all the VOD area. But, like, it's...
But there was still, like, a lot of VOD in that. Yeah,
it's basically since like 2011, since Seeking Justice, essentially, most of it has been.
I've come to find that, like, he was really ahead of the curve with video on demand as far as, like, a name that would sell the picture, you know? Because, like, most of the VOD stuff was just, like, 100% trash, where, like, you didn't even know anybody in any of these movies. And then it started being, like, you know, now you get, like, Travolta's done a ton of them, you know what I'm saying? Like, people you wouldn't expect. And some of the Travolta ones aren't bad. I watched that one, The Fanatic, and it's a good watch.
Wait, that's supposed to be, like, one of the worst movies of all time.
Oh, it's...
directed by Fred Durst.
It's amazing.
Well, because he did Gotti last year, and he did that this year, and, like, he's just on the streak of, like, worst movie of the year, but so bad it's good.
But he's still good, because he's in that OJ thing, right? And he's great in that, but it's like...
He needs direction.
Yeah, he needs Fred Durst to direct him.
I guess so. Nick Powell, the director, has 119 stunt credits.
Whoa, okay.
So he's mostly a stunt guy. He's also got 16 second unit directorial credits. So I mean, he's not an aspiring filmmaker because he's made two movies, but I feel like he's sort of, maybe began as an aspiring filmmaker, did a bunch of stunts, and then sort of, you know, on a bunch of movies did second unit stuff, and then got to make two movies.
That's,
you know,
wild
five or six
to
years
hear
apart.
That he was in the stunt world, because you see guys like Tim Miller now, and, like, you know, all of Keanu's friends and the John
David Leitch and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, those dudes, and, like, this did not have that kind of energy to any of the action sequence. Like, we talked about the knife fight. Like, that does not seem like it was staged by a guy who had either choreographed or been in filmed knife fights before ever. Like, Outkast had more choreography, I guess you could say, but this, no, I was kind of lackluster with all the actions. I mean, even Kimi's escape is kind of confusing when he's having the seizure and he's trying to grab for the guns and everything, and I thought he was going to use the Coke can at some point, but that never happened.
No. Apparently hasn't done stunts, like, basically, like, the last, like, decade, he's not done a lot of stunts, but, like, going back before that, X-Men The Last Stand, and maybe that's where he met Famke. Cinderella Man he did. 28 Days Later he did. The Bourne Identity.
Okay, no slouch.
I mean, there's a lot of these things that I haven't heard of.
Right.
The Mummy.
The Brendan Fraser Mummy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, of note, a lot of TV work early on. Mm. GoldenEye. Okay. Hackers.
Hackers.
Braveheart.
It's in that place where I put that thing that time.
Batman. The original Batman, 89 Batman.
Oh, okay.
So he's done a lot of work. It feels like he just has, like, an interesting career path. I Googled, to no avail, really, Nick Powell, Nicolas Cage, to see if there was, like, a this is where
a
they
connection.
Hit it off and whatever, and I couldn't find anything. I didn't dig deep, but it wasn't like a, hey, like, we met on blah, 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 and, like, you know, I wanted Cage to have a quote, like, you know, I love the way he did X, Y, or Z on Outkast. I wanted him to be back, and...
No, it just seems like coincidence.
Let's talk about the blow dart gun. You mentioned the blow dart gun. Tell me all about the blow dart
dear.
Gun.
So, like, he uses the monkeys get loose.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like that shot in Jumanji the first, where, like, they look just like that. They're like those little helper monkeys. He's, like, sneaking around one of, like, the cargo holds with a fucking blow dart,
which is really cool.
He's dipping it in the poison, he's putting it in the end, and Cage is just using the blow dart in this movie, and it's amazing.
Which, one thing I will give this movie credit for is they set up the blow dart pretty well, because he's explaining it to the kid. Mm-hmm. How he does his job.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I get the blow dart, I dip in the thing, they get paralyzed, but they're still conscious, they fall in my net, I take them, and the kid's like, isn't that cheating? He's like, it's not about how you play the game, it's whether you win or lose, which is not true, but, you know.
That's Cage's philosophy.
Exactly. But it's effective, because, like, you kind of know what he's doing, even though, like, we don't need to be told, oh yeah, he's using a blow dart. Like, we understand that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, real bad setup in this. Like, we see the lifeboat that's hidden very early on get, like, loaded into the boat. So we know later that after they shoot all the ones on deck that there's another lifeboat somewhere in the bottom. There's the horrible line where Famke Johnson is just like, he gets seizures, you know? And then they all just kind of, like, walk away. And then, like, sure enough, like, he just puts on a show by giving a seizure. It wasn't even a real one.
It was a fake one, though, right?
Yeah, it was a fake seizure.
That was, like, the biggest bait and switch. It was like, oh, yeah, like, you have to keep an eye out, because, like, it's... So she says, everybody, be very vigilant, because when you have a seizure, call me. And he starts, like, seizing, and they're like, what's this asshole doing? Like, just, like, don't do anything. Just call her. Like, you have one job. Yeah. And I guess that's the whole reason this movie exists. Although, if she went she would have gotten killed.
It made me think that she was in cahoots with him. Like, I thought the whole time, like, there was something going on with one of these people, and sure enough, like, it was Christopher.
Let's speak about Christopher Moltisanti, because it feels like he's in cahoots with no one.
He's in on his own. Like, we find out he's trying to cover his ass because he set Kimi loose. Like, they basically trained him.
The NSA.
Yeah, the NSA. They turned him into, like, a Martin Blank, but, like, he went too far, and they started loaning him out to, like, different governments all around the world to do assassinations and all kinds of shady shit. And then they caught him because they want to, like, rein him in, and they basically want to lock him up forever. And you find that out at the end, and Kimi, and there's like this Mexican standoff going on, and Cage is trying, he's got the crossbow.
Which,
and
there has been zero hint of this until like an hour in, Christopher Moltisanti stabs one of his own guys. It's like,
out of nowhere.
Even that doesn't quite make sense. It's just like, why is this happening? And then it takes another 10 minutes for him to be like, this is my plan. But with the crossbow, I was thinking all the way back to the Weatherman.
Oh.
Different kind of bow and arrow, but Cage learned probably while filming that movie how to do it, because he looked real good.
Yeah,
and they're talking shit on him. They're just like, yeah, you know, you got a lot of tension now, your arms are looking, like, you doing okay? And then he still puts an arrow through Kimi's arm, mm-hmm. which then the coolest thing in this movie is Kimi slamming his shoulder into a wall to like push the, arrow out.
Yeah,
like that was cool.
Yeah, but that was very confusing because it's after the knife fight and Kimi is literally dragging it on. Wait, no, when is that? No, when Christopher kills the guy. So let's go back there real quick because I was so confused. So Kimi is dragging an unconscious Cage because he's going to lock him up in a cage.
And Cage again, like, I don't remember what movie it was, but we like lost our mind when Cage said the word cage. But and here he's saying cage all the time. He's just like, I'm going to put you in a cage. Is this cage good enough?
And then he's put in a cage.
Yep.
When Christopher kills that guy, like, he could have at least like shot or wounded Kimi or anything. He just kind of looks at him and lets him go, which is what made me think like they're going to get together
what
later.
What is his end goal?
I have no idea. I literally have no idea, because why does he need him alive? Why can't he just, he's trying to cover his tracks. So why doesn't he just sink the fucking boat?
Unless he wants to, or just kill Kimi, unless he wants to...
I don't know.
Have him for future jobs?
It's hard to say. The movie doesn't really care about that, because that's not the movie. Like, it's like almost like if it's not pertaining to Cage, it doesn't really count. It's like, you just got to follow what's going on with him.
Like, I will say that in a lot of these movies, not a lot of these movies, in some of these movies, when Cage is not on screen, my attention goes down about 20%. So it's like, I'm following what's going on, but I don't really care. But he does say, I wrote down, when Christopher Moltisanti stabs Tommy Walker in the back of the head, he says to Kimi, I need you alive, and Kimi says, let's chat about it. And I was like, that's not a, what?
Right.
Chat about what?
What's there to talk about? And then there was that part when Cage is in the cage and he's getting tortured for the some coordinate map. So, like, all throughout the movie, we'll see that exterior of the boat, and there'll be these coordinates in the lower corner of the screen.
It's
like,
the latitude, longitude, and then how far they are from their destination.
But like, so what? Like, it's never mentioned until one point.
It also is all, they're always, like, between 400 and 300 nautical
miles
away.
They're never moving.
They don't move very fast at all.
And at one point, Kimi, like,
turns the boat around,
and then they turn the boat off, right? Like, they destroy, like, they make it so they can't move, I think, and they're dead in the water at one point, and so, and they keep showing, like, I'm like, guys, that was uncalled for.
He does a lot of things in this movie. Like, there are long stretches of this movie that I was noticing where Kimi is just, like, breaking shit, and there's no dialogue, and he's just doing things,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of have a vague sense of why he's doing it, sort of, and we sort of know what he's doing, but we don't know how that factors into a plan. Like, does he have it sounds like he has a plan, but we don't know what the plan is.
I didn't catch, like, his motivation. I think once he learns that they're gonna go one place and then the boat's gonna go to somewhere else, like, right? Like, they're gonna make two stops, I think, and he wants to not make two stops. He wants to just go directly
to Mexico.
Yeah, because Mexico.
I guess
because it's closer. He wants to get back to America. But that's the thing, we have no idea about his motivation, that character, whatsoever. Like, I have no idea what he wants. I have no idea, like, where he's going, where he comes from, like, any about it, except that one of the assassin groups that he worked for was called the Sword of God.
Oh, I missed that.
Did you miss that when they were like reading off his credentials or something? And I
think
like
Army of One shit.
Yeah, and I think Cage like made some kind of like kind of like thing about it, like, what a bunch of jerks call themselves that for.
Although we also learn in this movie that Cage's backstory, he was a mechanic in the Air Force for 4 years, and I feel like he hasn't been military in maybe since Snowden.
That's right. If he was a mechanic, why did he have such a hard ass about driving the truck in the beginning? Remember, like, they wouldn't drive the truck for him to the boat, and so the opening credits are him driving the truck all day.
That kind of gave me flashes back to Running with the Devil a little bit, right? Because it feels like the last three movies that we've done are all just him in, like, tropical locations just doing a movie in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's Running with the Devil, which follows him from South America somewhere up to, like, Vancouver.
All the way through Central America, all the way up. Through the Americas.
Through the Americas. Also starring the lead, Danny, from Terminator Dark Fate.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Before she was famous. Then there's Kill Chain, which all takes place down in Colombia or wherever they are.
It's South or Central America.
It's just down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, because the trivia on that one was that the two movies in a row he had filmed down there. And then this one's filmed, like, Puerto Rico. Like, he's just down, just hanging out in nice locations.
Yeah.
Filming movies that nobody's going to see.
That's right. It's like his saga. It's the South America saga. Like, he has the New Orleans saga, where, like, he had filmed, like, 8 movies there. It's like, this is just the crop of movies that he filmed while he was down there. I love that.
So you liked this movie?
Yeah. Like, I had a fun time watching it, for sure. Like, I mean, every Cage movie is gonna, you know, make the day better, no matter what. But, like, I got a kick out of it. Like, I was never really bored. Like, it wasn't a very... It tried to be something fun and have some action and excitement and be silly and all that. And I don't feel like it ended up taking itself 100% seriously, even if it started out wanting to. But, I mean, just compare it to Kill Chain. It's so much better than Kill Chain.
Well,
Kill Chain was kind of a
bad.
Bore, you know? Like, even, no offense, but I know you like that. What was the first one we did in August?
And
I like
Score to Settle.
And I like Score to Settle as well, but that is a slower movie, you know? Like, this, I feel, is
so,
like,
the
more
four
along...
that have come out this year, is this your favorite? Like, maybe the wrong word. If you were going to watch, like, so say in the middle of next year,
we're
in the dry spell.
Okay.
You're like, I want to watch a recent Cage movie. Of these four that we've done so far, would you put this one on over the other ones?
I might. This or Running with the Devil?
Really? I think I would do Score to Settle just because it's, like, it's lunacy.
It's just Cage. That's like a one-man show.
Also that.
Well, it turns out to be a one-man show.
Joey!
Oh, that's why you love it so much.
It
she yells your
it.
Name like 100 times.
Like, I think the big problem with this movie, both in terms of what we're looking at and also, I think, narratively, is that it's very really two movies.
Yes, absolutely.
It's either got too much Cage or not nearly enough Cage.
It's either Con Boat or... Animal Farm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can't be both. Like, these are not peanut butter and jelly. This is like oil and water. Like, it's just, they're not mixing well. Like, and I want to see Cage hunt man. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, but I want that
not,
to be the whole movie.
Yeah. I feel like what happened is that they had Con C. Like, that was the movie. They're going to transport this guy by boat because of XYZ, right? Somehow, they have a big game hunter plot that also gets worked in there. Or maybe, like, as they're hunting man, there's all these dangerous animals on the ship, right? And, like, they get loose or something. You know what
but
I mean?
Like,
then I feel like they get Cage, and they're like, well, we need him to be, like, he's going to sell the movie. And so we need to boost that up. So we're going to add this other stuff and make this other thing. Because it feels like we're watching it, and it's sold as a Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
But it feels like that is very clearly the afterthought in terms of the story. Like, the story is Kimi.
Yes.
The story is this madman, former rogue NSA guy
whatever,
right? Like, it feels like the Cage stuff was a secondary afterthought, blah, blah, blah,
right.
that they
Pump
then
up, like,
pumped up. But also, if you don't have that, and you say you cut out, like, 15 or 20 minutes of, like, whatever, like, the pure, because you can still have whoever the big game hunter is, you can have him, like, some stuff, but they're very clearly adding scenes because it's Cage, they need to add him up, then you have, like, a 65 or 70 minute movie, like,
so what I'm thinking is it's that whole first act. So, like, imagine the first act being them catching Kimi, like Christopher Moltisanti's task force.
Oh, because they
like,
just
that
show
could
up.
Have been, like, the original script, right? And then they get to the boat, and the only boat there is the one this big game hunter charters all the time because he does illicit shit, and he has to sneak animals across the borders and stuff. And so Cage, like, gets the script, and he's like, well, who do you want to be the agent? And it's like, well, that's a shit role. Like, do you want to be the prisoner? It's like, well, you know, I might be a little old to be the, or that, or I've done that, maybe not. I want to be the big game hunter, because that character I could really sink my teeth into.
Like,
and
like,
that's eccentric, crazy.
You know, we got to boost that up. That
and thing. It's like, all right, so we have to rewrite the first act and put Cage in a tree and have him literally wrestle a jaguar.
It's like, well, we only have enough film to shoot a 90-minute movie. I know we're shooting digital, but we can only shoot a 90-minute movie, so we got to cut out everything about them catching Kimi. They just show up.
I think.
I will say that Christopher Moltisanti looks good with gray hair. He has aged well. He looks pretty dignified.
He's got a tire around his waist, but aside from that, and I only say that because I always used to think Christopher was like this skinny Italian guy that could like, I never pictured him as an older man like that, and so it was a little weird to see his dad bod like poking through his
shirt. Well, I also will say that Adriana Laserva, I don't remember, Drea De Matteo.
Okay.
I've seen her recently on Instagram. She is still keeping it right and also tight.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, she was, Aid was beautiful. Like, Aid was like next level crazy attractive on Sopranos. I feel like 2019 Aid would not be attracted necessarily, although maybe, depending if she was in for the power or because, I don't know.
He looks more like one of the older wise guys sitting at the table now.
He did age into like the Paulie Walnuts type of role.
Yes! Yeah, totally. But I love Femke Jensen. Like, she looks great in this. Like, I mean, I wish she had more to do. You know, she does get tied up. She becomes a bit of a damsel, but I'm glad she's here. I don't know what else to really say.
It was cool to see her in a position of power, but not have any of that power actually be able to be used.
That's the thing. Like
she's
she
the highest ranking person on the boat, and she's just
not
like
a badass. Like, why wasn't she shooting the bow and arrow? Or like, why didn't she have some kind of like military training? You know what I mean? Like, she's a doctor. Like, she knows how to like probably kill people in interesting ways, right? Like pressure points and do this to them, or like.
Well, she somehow saves a guy's life that even with anti-venom, there's only a 20% chance of survival. They don't have anti-venom, and somehow she keeps the guy alive.
Yeah.
So like that is.
But you saw the guy; he was like pickled when he came off that boat.
But yeah, but he's gonna like the movie's
yeah,
like
right.
He's gonna live. Don't worry about it.
True.
Because also like there's this added drama that he's this kid's father, and we only care about the kid because Cage has one conversation with the kid.
It's like his short round. It's his little sidekick.
There is zero reason for this kid to be on this very dangerous boat. Like, imagine even if like there's no big game hunter, there's no Kimi. What's that kid doing on the boat for like 6 weeks?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Is this
100%.
A summer vacation?
I wrote down, what's with the kid? Why does little kid question mark like in the middle of all this? And that's what he's explaining the parrot to, is the kid, I think, because he's like, is that your bird? And he's like, I saved that bird's life or something like that. Like,
in the end, it was the bird who saved me.
You're like, a damn thing won't leave me alone anymore. And there's a great shot. Great. Well, I wouldn't say great shot, but there's a really funny shot in the opening sequence, the title cards, where he's driving the truck and the fucking bird is flying alongside the truck.
Beautiful.
Outside the window, and he looks over, he's like, ah, you bird.
Beautiful. Any other thoughts about Primal?
Not really about like the movie in general. I mean, this was some bad. I mean, everything bad about it I enjoyed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of reveled in the flaws of this one this time. Not that it's so bad it's good or anything
right.
like that. Like, I still think it's a poor film. I don't think people that aren't as crazy as us are really going to dig it as much as we do, but like I was very happy watching this one, and I'm glad it had like more energy to it. And the last three, like, not that they're like, not that I didn't enjoy them, but they were sort of slower films, and this one I feel like was trying to move along at more of like an action pace, and it was just a nice little change up from what we've been getting.
I think I was just bummed because this could have been great and crazy and a lot of fun.
I mean, I was so pissed that we weren't getting like fictional animals and things, you know, like I thought they were gonna be monsters.
Even if it's just real animals, like way more.
Like way more. Like a boar and like an alligator. Like, we needed a lot of other crazy shit.
Because I think the movie sets itself up, like when he's driving that truck, he's got like all these cages and everything. Like, it feels like he has a lot. And then it's like he's got this whole huge cargo bay where his animals are.
A menagerie, yeah.
And there's nothing. And
true.
I don't know if that's like a, even if it's budgetary, like show something, like show, make the stakes grander, or just have the jaguar.
Yeah, that would have been fine. If it was just the jag, it's threatening enough.
Because it feels like he's this big game hunter who's got all these different animals, but it's this weird middle ground where it's not impressive either way.
Yeah, especially since the jag, well, I mean, it's so sad that those tiny little monkeys like shredded the chef apart, because I was like, that would not, no, they're not lethal.
They ripped the skin from your face.
But like, yeah, all
they
you
take
really
your face
needed off. All you really needed was the white jag.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, as you're listening to this right now, the I don't know if we announced this last time, but now when we record these Cage episodes in person, now that they are like a monthly event, a reason to hang out, we are also recording episodes of our newest podcast, Viva Pod Vegas, the Elvis Presley podcast.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The Elvis Presley
much.
Film podcast.
Yes, the film podcast. We got to say that.
After we finish recording this one, we're also going to record the first episode
Crazy.
Of Viva Pod Vegas about Love Me Tender. So if you're waiting, if you're looking for things to do in the downtime between the Cage episodes, which is not a lot of downtime.
No, it's going
to
be about a month, I think, you know.
December 6th, I think, is Grand Isle.
Yeah, which is a month away.
So we're going to, that's a Friday. So that weekend,
so we could do the
we're
going to
get
deal.
Together and do the same thing.
Nice.
Go check out Viva Pod Vegas. Love Me Tender is going to be up this week. Basically, by the time this is up, that'll be up roughly. Hmm. Also check out every Friday, Mike and I are doing the Tom Tom Club.
Yes.
Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise. We are in the golden mile of Tom Hanks.
Oh, so good.
We are also in the, I mean, all of Tom Cruise's filmography is
yeah. We're great. Just in the golden era of Tom Cruise.
Which is basically his entire career. Check out Too Fast, Too Forever every Tuesday. Check out Third Time's a Charm every third of the month. We got lots of things going on. I think the most exciting, the new thing is Viva Pod Vegas.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
But Cage Club, now a
this
monthly
so
show.
Good.
Apparently, this is
this
exciting.
So awesome. I'm so happy that the end of this year is just like turned completely around thanks to Cage. Thank you so much, Cage.
It's a miracle.
It's a Cage Club miracle.
For all things Cage Club, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. If you have a ranking of your favorite Cage movies from this year, which did you like best or most, email it in. We will talk about it on the next episode. Come back in a month or so for Grand Isle, Cage and Kelsey Grammer. And check out our other shows, the ones I mentioned, Tom Tom Club, Hanks and Cruise, Viva Pod Vegas, Third Time to Charm, Too Fast, Too Forever. All 26 shows at cageclub.me. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And we'll see you next time for Grand Isle right here on Cage Club.